Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'd like to thank you for tuning into the International Black Summit Talk Show. My name is Claire Lyons Devon, and I will be your host for this broadcast. Tonight's segment is called Vision Works. Vision Works is an opportunity to share how people, like our next president, Barack Obama, are living and implementing their vision in the community and around the world. For those of you new to the International Black Summit Talk Show, we broadcast every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we've added a show on the second and fourth Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'd like to welcome and thank everyone who is listening live tonight. And if you'd like to call in with comments or questions, the call-in number is 646-716-9827. Again, that number is 646-716-9827. You can also listen via the web at www.blacksummit.org/talkshow. I'd like to take a moment for those of you unfamiliar with the International Black Summit to tell you a little bit about who we are. The International Black Summit is a gathering of people of Black African descent. We're from diverse backgrounds, countries, lifestyles, opinions, and views, and we come together to celebrate and empower the vision of the Declaration and explore questions and issues which empower our participants to realize their vision for the Black community in the world. This week and the weeks preceding it have definitely been a testament to the fulfillment of the vision of one very special man, our President-elect Barack Obama. President-elect Obama held his vision of change when others doubted, when this relatively unknown senator announced his intentions to run for office, and not just any office, the highest and most prestigious office, that of President of the United States of America. In the midst of all the commentaries, opinions, concerns, and considerations, what was destined and for some very unimaginable occurred. Nationally and internationally, citizens of the world came together for change. And on Tuesday, January 20th, after the national holiday of one Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was a man of peace and vision, Barack Obama, who is also a man of peace and vision, will be sworn in as the 44th President of the United States of America. Tonight on Vision Works, we hope to capture the inspiration generated by the upcoming inauguration and the change people are committed to making in their lives to support Barack Obama's vision. Tonight, I am excited because I am on location for the 44th inauguration of Mr. Barack Obama, and I want to know, how has the election of President Obama inspired you to change? Our call-in number is 646-716-9827. Again, that number is 646-716-9827. We have two callers I'd like to welcome. Caller 708-331. Who's calling? Okay, maybe you're just listening in. We have another caller, 312-593. Would you like to share this afternoon or you just want to listen? Okay, great. So I want to thank all the people who are listening live, and if you'd like to answer the question, again, the number is 646-716-9827. How has the election of President Obama inspired you to change? I have a very wonderful person here with me this evening. Her name is Mathetta. She has relocated to the East Coast area. And Ms. Mathetta, let me ask you, how has the election of President Obama inspired you to change?
I think one of the things that's so inspiring about this election and also the fact that we have our first black president, it's just hope itself. And for being a black person, it makes you proud as far as, you know, the vision for the company, for the country right now, and just the things that the expectation of the new president. I know, you know, for a lot of us, we look at the economy, we look at what's going on right here in the United States, at the real estate crisis, gas prices, but you know what? I really feel we have the president that's really going to make a change. He has a vision. He has the ability to bring us all back together. And he has the vision just to, you know, just to change. And I look forward to it. I look forward for the next 8 years of having this wonderful man, President-elect Barack Obama, as our new president.
I'm really excited and turned over.
I'm really excited myself because, I mean, just this vision, the vision of hope alone, you know, gives us all, you know, it inspires each and one of us as being a black America. It makes us feel like we can do anything. It makes, you know, just looking at right now, just being alive to see this happen, you know, for my children, my grandchildren, they know that, you know, they can do anything at this point.
That's true.
So, you know, I'm excited. I'm very excited.
This is a remarkable time in our history. I really want to applaud you on that. And I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. So what, as you, Barack Obama talked about, each of us has to participate because he can't do it by himself.
I think that we all have to really be committed to our communities, committed to our children, you know, just to get out there and help them because Barack Obama is just one man. And like you say, he cannot do it alone. We have to all really commit. And not only just commit, you know, the vision of doing. Today I said in the sermon with my pastor, he talked about the vision, not to just, you know, to really just do it.
Be the change.
Yes, be the change. And we all have to be the change. One of the things that I know there's going to be a lot of expectations on Barack Obama, and we as black Americans, we have to get out there and really help him. Help them in our community. Make sure that we make a difference in our community. You know, be that change.
Be the change. Be the change. Thank you so much for sharing it. I really, really appreciate you being part of this inspirational time. It's a historic time.
It's a wonderful time.
I'm excited to be
too.
Here. And I'm
on location. Washington, D.C.
Our location. Ooh. And some we're coming into the airports and on the trains and the city. It's amazing. It is amazing. If you have something to share, the call-in number is 646-716-9827. Caller at 312. Who's there? Would you like to share something?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I was so excited. I am so excited. I am here also. I'm in Virginia actually now. I just came in from the concert.
Oh my God.
I so many people. I have so many stories, so much to share. You know, just let me know when and where, when to stop. But just ask me a question. Okay.
Well, what was it like for you coming into this environment for the inauguration weekend?
It was wonderful. All right, it was wonderful. It was kind of like the Million Women March, kind of like that that was my attitude, I guess, because I expected everything to be great. And it has been great every day. I've been here since Thursday. And I in the airport, I met people from all over the world, and everybody was coming to the inauguration. And I flew into Dallas. And so all of these people and everybody's, like, trying to figure out where they're going to go and Well, you know, and the newspapers here are wonderful because they give you a map of everything, and they give you a list of all the parties, a list of all the activities, you know, everything. I don't, whatever you want to pay for a ticket, you can find something to do in your price range. If your price range is free, there are 10, 20 things that you can do for free over the weekend and just have a great time. You know, we've been on the trains. We went to Baltimore yesterday to meet Obama and his family at the train stop that he got off to make the speech.
Uh-huh.
We went to Baltimore, and there were 40,000 people out there.
The nicest
people, oh, my God. There was this woman in line, because in Baltimore you had to go through security.
Uh-huh.
There was a woman in line in a wheelchair. Her son was pushing her. She was in her late 80s, early 90s,
uh-huh.
And it was bitter cold. And I'm from Chicago, but this cold was a different kind of cold. I don't know how to explain it. But she was in the wheelchair, and her son was pushing her. His wife was pushing their baby in the stroller. So So my friend and I, we stopped the line to let them, you know, come in front of us so they could go through security. And the lady in the wheelchair started to cry because we were nice to her. And everybody else, she said, had been so nice to her. And because of Obama. And so it was so cold. It was 17 degrees here. We were like, don't cry because your tears will freeze. You know, don't cry. And everybody will start crying. And I mean, people on crutches, people on every, you know, it was like, I'm going.
Wow.
I am going. And we had to walk about a mile after we got out of the car. We had to walk about a mile to get to the actual war memorial where he spoke in Baltimore. But it was just the nicest group of people. And in Baltimore, there are a lot of, you know, they had a lot of their politicians to start the program off. And, you know, everybody there is so excited. They're just so excited, just as they are in D.C. and probably all over the world. But one of the things that I heard in Obama's speech both yesterday in Baltimore and today at the concert, he spoke at the concert, was that as individuals, if we take on looking at each other and seeing ourselves,
mm-hmm.
that we can make the change, that the change will occur. So I heard him say, you know, 2 days in a row, and I've can you hear me?
Yes, he said, you heard him say, if we can make the change.
You know, if we can see ourselves in others.
If we can see ourselves in others,
that we can make the change as individuals. And then when we make the change individually, then it spreads. And, you know, that's my belief. And so I'm taking that on. And so what I did after I heard it the second time today is I just opened my eyes to everybody who was around me.
Yeah.
And everybody, when I opened my eyes, everybody was so nice. People would take pictures. You want me to take a picture for you? Do you need instructions? All you had to do was pull out your map, and somebody would walk up to you and say, do you need assistance? You
wow.
know, are you from here? No, I'm not from here, but I know the area. It was amazing.
Wow.
So it's like if you're feeling good about yourself, nice about yourself, open your eyes, and you will see that in everybody else. That's the message I got from it today out there with, I don't know how many people were at the concert. I know yesterday they said there were 42,000 people in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yes. There were probably, I don't even know how to guess that, but they were spread from the Lincoln Memorial to the Washington Memorial, just jam-packed. But this has had such a great effect with me. The person that I am with is a person that I grew up with. We grew up in the same household for the first 20 years of our life. And as we walked through, you know, we were remembering in Chicago how segregated it was and how we wanted to go and march with Martin Luther King when he came to Chicago, but he marched in a place where black people were not allowed.
Right.
So our parents wouldn't let us go. And we wanted to go, so we really wanted to go, but, we were too young. We can't go over there. It's too much, you know, whatever. So, you know, we're really excited about being here.
Mm-hmm.
And just the effect that this, not just the inauguration, but the change that's occurring, you know, what it means for me is that, yes, things were that way.
Mm-hmm.
And now they can be a different way,
yeah.
You know. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like transformation.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, yes, that did happen, that did occur, and this can occur.
Right.
You know, and now this can occur. The most fascinating thing I think I saw today was the Obama children. When, you know how everybody was taking pictures of them, they pulled out their cameras and they were taking pictures of everybody else. It was so cute. It was, but that makes so much sense. You know, mm-hmm. They wanted to take pictures of everybody. They, you know, they wanted to take a picture of Beyonce and Stevie Wonder and, you know, everybody else. But it's just, I don't know the word other than peaceful. We spoke with, we started to have lunch earlier today. And there were two lighter expression people from Maine sitting next to us. And we had lunch in the Smithsonian. And the lady said to us, she said, I am so glad that this has finally happened. She works in D.C. and she has been in D.C. since Nixon. And she said she's been to inaugurations, you know, gone to several of them.
Yeah.
This was the first one that she really was excited about. All the rest of them were kind of her job, you know. And she told us, she said, it's about time. We finally got it together. That's what she said to us. We finally got it together.
And I think to a really significant point, which is, not in our history. I mean, there's so many firsts associated with this particular inauguration. The number of people from all over the country, and there are normally a lot of people who come to see the swearing-in of our president, but people are coming from everywhere, nationally, internationally,
mm-hmm.
to witness this event that's going to be occurring on Tuesday. It, just the amount of support,
mm-hmm.
you know, that people from all different walks of life, all different things are expressing their, you know, their gratitude is just overwhelming. It really is overwhelming. And the spirit that you're speaking to is what is going to be necessary to carry us, you know, to carry us forward. We have another caller at 613. Would you like to share a comment or would you like to just listen?
Hi, Clara. It's Adrian.
Hello, Adrian. How are you?
I am wonderful. I can't even believe how wonderful. Like, it's amazingly wonderful. So I am calling you from Washington, D.C., just on the steps of Howard University campus.
Okay.
I wanted my students to call, but they're commuting right now on their way back to their hotel in West Virginia. So they couldn't call in, but they've just left hanging out with me here near Howard for the last few hours. And we've had, just like the previous person talking, this experience is just bringing out what is the best in people. And we had two amazing experiences this afternoon that I just want to share with you. So they came from their hotel, dropped them off at Shady Grove Metro Station. They got to where I am by train, walked up from Howard Shaw Station.
Adrian.
And, yes?
Share with people where you guys came from.
We are coming from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, which is the nation's capital of Canada. Barack Obama will be coming to our city on the 27th of January for his first official out-of-country visit. So we are creating in our space that since we've come to see him, he's coming to see us in a few weeks. So this is really just preparation for him to come and see us in a few weeks. I've brought four students with me, as well as a friend and her daughter. They came on a bus trip from Ottawa with 50 other Canadians from Ottawa, age range from 8 years old is the youngest person that was on the bus to the other youngest end of the spectrum, which I can't even tell you. So from the littlest to the oldest possible. And my four young ladies that came with me, four 16-year-old girls.
Wow.
And they're capturing experiences while they're here and doing an outstanding job. So I took them on Howard campus this afternoon to show them this is where I went to school and to demonstrate to them the historical significance of the school. And while we were on main campus, there was an inaugural event just actually letting out, and a young man saw us, and he just decided to stop. He hesitated for a minute, and then he came back, and he goes, "Are you all from here?" We're like, "No, we live in Canada." He took his hat off, and he started talking to the girls. He said, "I'm a sophomore. My name is Charles. I'm in the School of Communications. I'm on the swim team." And he just recounted to them not only the significance of walking the steps of others who have come before him, saying, like, Toni Morrison went here, and I'm in the same freshman English class that she went to when she was a student. And then he actually even related that kind of history to this moment being so significant, being a Howard student, to then now see the inauguration of the first black president in American history. It was perfect. You couldn't script it better. We walked further down the street just to get something to eat. We went into the China Wonder carryout to get some Chinese food, where another gentleman walked in. We either clearly look like we don't live in D.C., but he just said, "Where are y'all from?" He's like, "We're from Canada." He goes, "I'm going to tell you, I'm a professor at Howard. Here are seven reasons why this inauguration is significant for Canadians." And he broke it down, all seven reasons, right there in the restaurant while he was waiting for his carryout. Two other women overheard him, and they said, "Where are y'all from again?" We're like, "Canada." They said, "Can we take your picture?" And this was just unbelievable. She says that. We say yes. She leaves the restaurant, walks to her car, gets her husband, who opens the trunk, takes out a life-size cutout of Barack Obama, brings it back in the restaurant, and I was like, "Oh, I'm the first picture." And then we all took this huge group picture standing around this cutout, the lady, yes, of Barack Obama in the Chinese carryout. And then the lady who owns the restaurant, she goes, "Before y'all leave, can you take a picture with my camera of me too?" And we're like, "Come on in the picture." It was excellent. It was just an excellent, excellent moment. So I'm just thrilled that my students are having this tremendous experience. I'm having a tremendous experience. And tomorrow's just going to be another just great day.
That is awesome and wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, what were some of the seven things that he broke down? Do you recall?
Yes, I recall he talked about how Canadians assisted in the Loyalist movement during the Civil War. He talked about how the Underground Railroad, how many of us as Canadians are descendants of African Americans because during slavery, African Americans came to Canada during the Underground Railroad, during slavery. He talked about how the first state visit of the president is going to be to Canada. He talked about the long history of blacks in Canada being over 500 years. We've been in Canada, you know, so we're not just a nation of people of African descent who have migrated or immigrated to Canada. There are indigenous Canadians over 500 years strong. And just the girls recorded the entire thing because they have digital recorders that they have been given charge with to capture experiences. And there's one young lady who is doing just an excellent job of making sure her recorder is right there when anybody has some comment to make. And so she's caught it almost all. And we went afterwards to the African-American Civil War Memorial, which is actually right outside of the subway station at U Street, and I think it's 10th. And she walked through over 200,000 names of African-Americans who contributed to the Civil War effort for the Union Army. And she was just like, wow, this is exactly what that professor just talked to us about, Miss. And I was like, yep, you got it, girlfriend. You got it.
Wow, that is awesome.
It sounds like you guys are having a really phenomenal experience, and we're only part of the way there. I mean, this is just Sunday.
Exactly. I mean, it's only Sunday, and we haven't even gone into the city. Like, we haven't even gone into any of the so-called, you know, concerts or you know, into the crowd. We are literally on the outskirts, per se, but Jeremiah Wright was speaking this morning on Howard campus at the chapel, and the place is just a buzz. It's just tons of people all over, and, I mean, we haven't even ventured into the depths of all of the, you know where all of the people are, and they'll make an attempt to do that tomorrow. And so, yeah. And this thing in West Virginia, I mean, this is like, at first I was like, wow, this is crazy what we're about to do. But they were up for the adventure, and they continue to be up for whatever it is that unfolds in the moment.
Awesome, awesome. I want to thank you for sharing that. And I want to let our listeners know you're listening to the International Black Summit. This is the Vision Work segment, and we're talking about the vision of one President Barack Obama and the United States of America. We are on location for the 44th inauguration of Mr. Barack Obama. We have Adrienne and her entourage from Canada who are here for this memorable event. We have Ms. Henrietta from Chicago who is on location as one of our roving reporters. And we have a caller at 708. Do you have something that you'd like to share?
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm from Chicago.
Yes.
And I saw, it's just really great to, you know, hear people that are there. And I'm at home in outside of Chicago, and I was looking at it on television. And mm-hmm. But it's really great just to hear people who are there and how excited they are about it. And one thing that, you know, some of the things that are being said. Well, first of all, I was a volunteer for Obama. So I did some calls for him, and I get his communication. I did a healthcare project at my house just 2 weeks ago because I'm concerned about what he intends to do for the country. So I'm not that excited about him per se. And one of the strangest thing about this is that I'm a little bit older than the people that were talking. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing to me is that people are really getting transformation.
Yeah.
And he's bringing it to the people here in the United States and the world. And that's what's so powerful about all of this. But for me, I'm a pragmatist, and I think he is too. And he keeps telling us that we're in trouble. And by being a community activist, that would be the way he would go. And that we need to hold on real quick because something's about to occur that we've never had occur before. And I really think he's the man for the job now. And I think the people that he surrounded himself with are the people that should be the that should do it. And I always think about, you know, what are people really going to be able to do?
Congratulations.
What are they really going to be able to do when all the love fest is over? And I really think we're pointed maybe in the right direction. And we'll all see. And one of the best things that's happened in Chicago is that he's made it possible that the corruption in Chicago has finally come to a point that maybe the people here who vote won't put up with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I see the change right here,
mm-hmm.
the politics. Mm-hmm. And that is all over the country and the world. And I guess what he's saying is when people hold people who work for them accountable, then that's what's going to make the difference.
Mm-hmm. That personal accountability. And I'm going to ask the question again to the people who are on the call. So what can you as an individual do to support what's going on in our country in this time of change as we go through this transformation?
Claire, this is Henrietta.
Yes.
I think one of the main things is something that the person who was speaking just now mentioned. She mentioned a love fest. I think if we don't allow the love fest to end, we will get a whole lot done. The thing that's so powerful right now is that everybody is loving. And the love is what you feel all over D.C. right now, in Chicago, and in many, many places. You know, things are different because people are looking and they're listening and they're actually willing to have change occur. And I think as long as we don't allow the love fest to end, and we do as the president-elect asked us to do, is that every time we look at somebody, see ourselves, and I'm not sure I quoted him correctly, but something like that, you know, look at another person and see yourself. You know, I think as long as we do that, I mean, that's what transformation is about, then it's, you know, it's unlimited. It's like it says in the Declaration of the International Black Summit,
mm-hmm.
unlimited possibilities. That's not what it says. It says unpredictable results. You know, just unlimited. I'm saying the results are unlimited. So that's what I think that we can do. I think we can keep it going, what we're feeling right now, what we're talking about right now. Keep it going. And hi, Adrienne. I haven't seen you since we were in New Orleans, if you're still on the line.
I'm still here. How are you, Henrietta?
I'm great.
That's good.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah, and the service, you know, tomorrow is National Service Day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I thought about New Orleans when I was reading about it. Now, all these service projects that you can volunteer and do, or you can create your own. They're just asking that everybody be of service to somebody else on tomorrow. You know, I think things like that, if we keep those things going on a regular basis, then we stand in the Declaration of the International Black Summit as well as the change that the president is asking us to be a part of.
Yeah. Would anyone else like to respond to that question?
Yeah, this is the one from Chicago, Brenda. And one of the things is that, oh, about years and years ago, you know, I've been in the conversation of transformation. I've done some projects, and one of the projects years and years ago was to stand in the possibility that once we realize that there's no possibility, there is a possibility. And I never forgot that because really at that particular time, I never had a conversation that there wouldn't be a black president because what that conversation was about is breaking up racism and oppression and all those things that probably was in the way for that to occur. I didn't know how the package was going to show up, but I really didn't particularly have a conversation about it. So when Obama showed up, I said, he's perfect. He's black. He's racial. He's diversified. He's cultural diversification. He could relate to African Americans. They identify with them. People in the world identify with them. And his mother was white, and his grandparents. He was the perfect manifestation. And so when I look at Obama, I see the world, and that's what I was to stand for, the world being transformed. So for me, and I was in the Black Summit when they first started it too, and it's amazing to me that whoever was doing the work, all of us, is that he had the space to show up in that way. And I am truly grateful that he's going to take this, or the consciousness of the world has gotten to the point that it's going to get ugly before it's going to get better, but we are really faced with that humanity that we are. The humanity that you speak of today and who he brings, what he brings. So I'm in love with him, but I'm in love with love and people. Mm-hmm. And there is, and people are aware, out of that, we know anything's possible like it's always been. And now more people see that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's unbelievable. It's not unbelievable. It's just beautiful, truly beautiful. So that's pretty much what it's been for me. And one of the most important things, I remember when you look in the mirror, you see yourself. I remember that entertainer, Jackson, used to say that all the time. You're the man in the mirror, and so is the person there. You're a reflection of him. And one of the things that I'm very clear about is that you never give it away to someone else outside of yourself. You always keep it going within you. Because what happens if he's not the Messiah? What happens if he turns out to be the lousiest leader we've ever had? What happens to us then? Nothing. We keep on creating and manifesting. So, he's from here. What can I say?
And he's from Chicago. Got it. So personally for you as an individual, what would be your individual contribution to support our country in this time of change?
Well, I'm a very practical person, and I've already taken on, I get emails from him every day, his organization. Mm-hmm. They've always making requests, and I'll tell you a quick story. I was late supporting him because I supported a female.
Mm-hmm.
I could relate to her more so than I could him, because I always kept telling my husband, this man is just a politician. He's the most masterful politician there is. And I said, after a while, I didn't like the way they were treating women. I mean, the media. I don't care who she was, his wife, whatever. So I took a stand for her. And not until September the 26th, That was my father's birthday. My father was a deacon at the church that Obama really grew up in. And I really didn't know about him then. And I said, on the 26th, and this is his first debate, and it's in Mississippi where my father was born. I said, I'm going to put down the money then. Once I did that, I got into action. I called people. I joined. I wanted him to win Ohio, and I wanted Indiana to turn. And I got on the phone, talked to 75 people, hundreds of people, within about a few. When people were celebrating, I was on the phone getting them out to vote. That's the kind of person I am. And what happened is that with the energy of everyone that was out there, amazing organization, unbelievable, that happened for him. Then after that, I said, I'm through with this man now. And then I decided that I was going to be really conscientious now. This is what I want from him. Because a lot of years I've been sending Obama things. And he was a politician, and he was here in the healthcare, all the senators, you know, what organizations you're involved in. You constantly send them things to want things from them, to legislate things for you. And I don't care what, you have to do that. That's how you know who the man is. So I decided that he was good enough to, you know, continue what he was doing. And so what happened is I just kept sending him things, and now I'm on his team, and he sends me things all the time, and I gave a health care function. He wanted people to, you know, input the health care, what you want in health care. But his policy, what we have to do is get the policy together. Because that's what's going to determine whether we survive or not. This money has got to be turned around, and how is the quality of people's lives going to improve? And that's pretty much it for me. I'm focused on that. And what's occurring is that he wants me to do, what does he want us to do next? Oh, on Tuesday, give a party so we can all commit again. Well, I'm committed. I'm just committed to the same thing he is. And he's the one that's engineering it.
Right.
He's the one that's going to make it happen. But I've been waiting for somebody to show up for some time now, and he's the man.
I'll go along with the man.
That's the man,
most definitely. And some really powerful things have been said, like continue the love fest, which for those of us who are here on the ground, we're really experiencing that unity firsthand and the seeing ourselves in others, you know, being about the unpredictable and the unlimited, you know, just that whole sense of prosperity, being of service, you know, being humanitarian, you know, knowing that we're the ones, we're the person in the mirror that have to be responsible for the change. And then as Brenda was saying, to get into action in our local communities. I mean, all of those are really powerful ways that we can, as individuals, support our country in this time of change. Harriet, I want to come back to you because you've been here since when? Are you on mute?
Yes. Okay. I've been here since Thursday.
Since Thursday.
Yes.
Okay. And you had a chance to the concert with Beyonce, and I think it was Kanye West at that concert? Who was it? It was Beyonce?
No, Stevie Wonder, Usher, Queen Latifah, Denzel was on, a couple of other people that I'm trying to remember. There are a lot of other people.
What was the message of the entertainment? Because these are all young entertainers in the industry who here coming together on a political front. And I was just so proud of, who was it, Kanye West? And his efforts with Queen Latifah, Beyonce, Jay-Z, in organizing young people to vote and organizing young people in our community to vote. And then now that they're having, you know, I call it, you know, the hip-hop ball.
Right, yes.
What was their message there?
See, the way the program was set up, every entertainer sang one song. If, you know, if you were a singer, people like, everybody's name, but there were some entertainers, like Queen Latifah, she didn't sing. She talked about Marian Anderson and how she was not allowed. So there was a lot of historical information that was given. So they were either doing, they were an orator or they were singing a song. So there was a program that they were following, and most of it had to do with things, you know, like the civil rights era. I can't think of the guy's name, but anyway, he talked about Rosa Parks. And so there were a lot of, you know, like mini documentaries throughout the program all day. And then, you know, along with that, Obama spoke. But then, you know, their message, like Beyonce saying, America the Beautiful. I can't think of the guys from, they're from a European country, you know, and that this is a song that they had written about Martin Luther King. And honestly, I've never heard it before. So the people who were around me, they were singing the song, so I learned the words from them. But they had written a song years ago. You know, he had written a song years ago. And, you know, that opened my eyes because, you know, I was thinking when they said this song was written for Martin Luther King, I thought, well, either it's going to be Stevie Wonder singing Happy Birthday, or it's going to be one of the songs that the Whispers wrote, or somebody, you know, who wrote something like that. But this was a Caucasian group who had written it. And so, you know, right away I learned something because I did not know that song exists, and I did not know. Mm-hmm. And so the lighter expression people, they got to teach the black folks a song, and, you know, out there we were. So it was just, it was wonderful. So there wasn't, you know, I guess to answer your question, the theme was just love. It was oneness. That's what it was, because they even put that on the screen at the end. We are one. We are one.
Mm-hmm. We are one. That's pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
We're here with the International Black Summit Talk Show, the Vision Work segment, and we're on location here for the 44th inaugural presidential inauguration. The guest calling number is 646-716-9827 if you have a question or a comment that you would like to share. And we're talking about how the election of President Obama is inspiring change in us as individuals and us as a community. And I also want to talk a little bit about we're at Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. I mean, this is Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. And I don't I'm showing my lack of some of the of our country history, but I wasn't present to before that the swearing-in ceremony was this weekend. And I'm not sure if in the past if it normally is this weekend, if this is a coincidence, or is it normally this weekend and it just never occurred to me before. Does anyone have an answer to that question? Does anyone have
I think it's always this weekend. I think it's always around the 20th.
Okay.
Of the month, you know, somewhere around there, you know, around there. But Claire, you have a caller, a 646 caller. Is she still on?
Yes, we're still on. It's Clara.
Hi, it's not showing up on my screen. Can you open that line for me, Henrietta?
I'm not in front of the computer.
Hi, Clara. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, hi. It's Jackie Ottawa.
Jackie Ottawa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you.
Good, good. Well,
here,
I am in D.C.
Oh, my God. We have to get a rendezvous point, which is probably one of those unpredictable results, given that there are, what, how many millions of people here?
I know. But, you know, you were just asking. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. But you were just, you know, referencing, you know, this is Martin Luther King weekend as well, or the King Day. And, you know, today we were driving around, and one of the things that just really got present, well, I remember when the summit was in Ghana in 2004,
mm-hmm.
and the first time I went through the gate of no return, I mean, I significantly, it was one of those defining moments in my life that I will never forget, because it was at that point that I really got the significance and the understanding of ancestors and the fact that their spirits are with us. And then when we got to the gate of return, I realized how much it took for me to get back there. You know, I didn't make it back there on my own, and I didn't make it back there just for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was reflecting today in terms of, you know, the kind of bookends that we're looking at right now with respect to Martin Luther King 40 years ago and Barack Obama. I mean, you look at the time, the speed of time that has happened, you know, 400 years, now 40 years, and the change that has happened exponentially. It just brings chills to my spine because this is one of those defining moments. It's the same way for me. I never thought in my lifetime I would see Mandela released from prison. I never thought in my lifetime I would see a black man be the leader of the free world. And that, to me, this is how I see Barack Obama transcending, you know, America and just really being a global entity and a global inspirer, because it is for all black people. And there is a bit of wonder to this whole transformation for me, and I don't want us to lose the wonder of it, because I think if we lose the wonder of it, we can just turn it aside and say, you know, it's just an everyday occurrence. We're not at that point yet, but we're certainly on the first step of that, moving in that direction. And I think if we don't stay in the wonder of it, we'll become cynical very soon. And if we don't stay in the wonder of it, I think that we will think that it is only him who can make change happen. And I think the thing that inspires me about Barack Obama more than anything else, I mean, I've read his books, and this is a man who's done his work. This is a man who's done his own personal transformation. And if he didn't do the work, and that's why I find the work of the summit so powerful, because we're doing the work in the summit space. And it's what's available to you when you do the work, when you clear yourself, when you get into the space of standing in possibility, when you get into the space of knowing what your vision and standing for it, not fighting against anything, but when you're standing for your vision and when you're standing supporting others to find their vision and to fulfill it for themselves, the black community, and the world. And this man is doing the work. This is what doing the work looks like. And I know that that night, when that moment happened, and, you know, I'm telling you, I got stripped of all my excuses as to why I should no longer do the work 100%.
Awesome.
This is what, for me, got present. To me, Barack Obama is doing what Barack Obama has prepared himself to do. The question I'm asking myself is, what have I been prepared to do that I haven't fully given myself 100%? And that is the commitment that I am clearing myself for in terms of, you know, how to move forward in the world to fulfill my vision, to fulfill what vision I have for my community, to fulfill my vision of the world. Barack Obama has an incredible task in front of him, and it is not about him doing it. It's about how we collectively are going to do the work. And because I think individually, as we do the work ourselves, transformation will take place in the world.
Yeah.
Period. You know, so one person doing the work isn't going to shift it for everybody. But what he is certainly demonstrating for me is, when you do the work and you're committed to doing the work and you're committed to garnering the support you need to do the work, phenomenal things happen, including becoming the president of the United States of America and becoming the president of the free world.
Wow. Jackie, I want to thank you for that share. That was really phenomenal, and the relationship of the exponential change, like when you get closer and closer to the space of transformation, things shift quicker. You know that four is actually a spiritual number, but you know, from 4,000 years to the 40 years, from Martin Luther King to Barack Obama, you know, noticing that. That transition and how the time frames are getting shorter and shorter and shorter for transformation to show up, or for fulfillment of vision to show up. Because Barack Obama is a fulfillment of Martin Luther King's vision.
Exactly.
That's so powerful to me, because the vision that Martin Luther King spoke is what's happening with this campaign, with the Barack Obama, with this, you know, this election for Barack as president. Adrian, is that you with your hand up in the...
Hold on, she's here.
Hello, we're sharing one phone.
Something you want to say? I see a hand up there.
I'm speechless. I don't have anything else to say. I'm just waiting for the next moment. I'm prepared for whatever it is in the next moment, and I'm just really, really just trying my best to be present to just this experience and observant. And just like Henrietta said, like people, like I said, are just wonderful. It's a quality of DC people that I've always been drawn to since I was a student here. And I just know it's in us as people to just be wonderful and kind and helpful and gracious and just outstanding to each other and for each other. And I mean, if this is what this experience is bringing out in us, I'm just thrilled to be at ground zero of where that is as it begins to have ripple effects throughout the rest of the world, really. And I'm actually more excited for my students and how they experience this, and just observing them and having that little piece of teenager in me, and just really going like, wow, I've got great permission right now to just be. I've got permission to just be and to just live vicariously through what it is that's available to all of us.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I think that's a great place to stand. And as Adrian was sharing and Jack was sharing, to really, you know, be in the space of noticing where we are in this moment in history and how significant this is for each of us. And, you know, if we each individually take a moment and be the contribution, the change will happen so seamlessly. I'm like just extremely, extremely psyched about that. Henrietta was talking about tomorrow being a national day of service for the country overall, and I think Brenda was talking about it as well, about Barack's notes. And one of the things that I'm noticing is that the notes are so gracious, because I've been a request to have a ticket for the swearing-in ceremony, and, you know, I put in my request to the senator like millions of people did. And I got back this wonderful note that said, you know, in essence, the bottom line of it was, no, you didn't get one. But it talked about all the other ways that I could be of service, from being, you know, a volunteer this weekend, which I filled all of the paperwork for that as well, to all of the other events that were going on and how people can participate. And I think the key thing with this administration is that there is an outreach for everyone to participate and contribute whatever they can. And many people call this a grassroots campaign, that, you know, the $5 donations weren't overlooked, so that every person, whether they gave a dollar or whether they gave $1 million, were really feeling like they were important and a contribution to making this election happen. And I think moving forward, what's going to shift all of this for us in terms of shifting our country is each person's contribution being equally weighed, you know, from whether it's a dollar or $1 million person, that we recognize that our contribution is equally weighed and we, you know, we rock the boat equally based on how we step and move forward. So tomorrow is the National Day of Service, and there is a prayer breakfast that I'll be attending with my cousin, and it is the FCLC is sponsoring it. And really it's about, and I went to church today, about bringing in this president in prayer, like really. You know, I believe that the hand of God is over him, and, you know, whatever people believe, but I believe that the hand of God is over this man and is over our country at this point in time, because he's moving into office at a very precarious time. I mean, all of the crap has been uncovered. And I think what happens when you put purity in a very evil place, the evil just has to back up and it gets exposed. And so all the nastiness that's going on in our government is coming to light, and, you know, people are running, and so they should. So we all have to be of service, and tomorrow is the day to do that. The fact that it is the Dr. Martin Luther King's celebration day lends more credence to that, about us being of service and helping our country move forward. We have I just wanted to remind everybody it's the International Black Summit Talk Show, and this segment is called Vision Works, and we are, the caller number is 646-71. Another caller. Oops, hold on. It's 856-332. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Sister Devon. Mitchell Sharp here. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Sharp. How are you doing?
Just fine, thank you. I just wanted to, of course, appreciate the topic and conversation at hand. But just one thing I wanted to add, and I heard Brother Obama say it himself. He said one of his speeches, I think it was when he was in either Philadelphia or Baltimore yesterday. He says, don't sit back and watch me. He says, because I can't do it by myself. And it's up to all of us as citizens of this quote-unquote great country to get involved and do our share, be it something as small as recycling or community activism. We all have a part, and the good brother can't do it by himself. So having said that, God bless the Black Summit. God bless the new president-elect, Barack Obama, and his family. God bless the good U.S. of A. And the Q-Side Phi, of course, because if I'm not mistaken, your husband is a member of the greatest fraternity this side of heaven, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I had to add a little editorial in there. But getting back to the thing, you know, we all have a part to do. We just can't, you know, because we have a brother in the presidential seat now, which many of our parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles never thought they'd see today. But now that it's arrived, you know, we have to get up off our backsides and contribute and help. Because, again, like you said, he and his administration cannot do it all alone. So it's up to us more than it is him.
Most definitely. And I guess the next president will be an Omega, right?
Well, I don't know about that. He's... Yeah, hey, listen, he got the presidency. He should be grateful and very thankful for that. Now, becoming a member of the Mega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated, that's a whole other ball game. And you can't get votes for that. Absolutely not. There's not enough votes on the good Lord's green earth for him to get that. But, I mean, that's a whole other ball game there.
Kidding with you, Mr. Sharp, but I do appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate your comments. And what would you say your vision is for our country? What do you see?
Just improvement, and not to backbite and talk negatively or bad about the Bush administration. But I mean, let's just face it; he left this country in a much worse condition than what he found it. So it's going to take more than one term, President-elect Obama, to kind of get this country back on the right path. And if we start striving for improvement, and if Brother Barack only gets one term, it's a success. It's a success. And it's, you know, I would be happy with that. We need to start improving and taking strides towards positive and forward as opposed to backwards. Forward ever, backwards never, I think it was the good Bob Marley said.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Come on, somebody. Today is Sunday. Today is Sunday. Come on, somebody.
Most definitely. They were talking about about too in church this morning. You know, sometimes some doors have to close for you to see the new ones that are opening. And, you know, we as a community have seen a lot of closed doors, but today a new day is a new door is opening.
For sure.
For not just African Americans, but for the whole United States of America.
Sure, sure. And you know, I mean, you know, nobody loves my people more than me. But I mean, let's just, you know, back to reality. It wasn't us that put him in the office, you know, so because we didn't tally that many votes. Sure, brothers and sisters came out in record numbers to vote for the good brother. And hate to say some mainly, yes, because he was a black man, but still, it is for this country as a whole, not just African Americans. And I mean, you know, we're all in this melting pot, quote unquote, together. So in order for strides and a positive direction to be made, we have to do it as a country, not just as, you know, a people. We can't do it ourselves. This has to be us as a country. So in due time, we'll tell. And hopefully, you know, with the good Lord's blessings and folks praying like we do, we'll be on the upstroke. Pardon the background noise if you hear. I took time out from watching the game, and I wanted to make sure I see if I could get in and make a call to get my comment in. I'm kind of glad I got through. Thank you for taking my call.
Clara?
Yeah.
I wanted to inquire about the service projects that are going on tomorrow. And I wanted to know if Adrian or anybody who brought a group, I think I heard Adrian say she brought her students. Is there a service project that they're involved in? Because there are four of us and we're looking for something to do early in the morning because we have to be in line for Aretha Franklin tickets early also, but we want to get our service in first.
Adrian, the Canada folks aren't on the line anymore.
Okay.
I'm looking at this here, and it just says the president-elect and vice-president-elect and their families will participate in the activities dedicated to serving others and communities across the D.C. area. But I know if you go to the website, you can actually search based on what your interests are or what your areas are. So I guess I would recommend going to the inauguration website.
Okay. Thank you.
Right, and you could possibly find something there. Because the things on the list that I have don't have times associated with.
Okay.
I'm looking for a moment.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Good.
And for those of you who don't know, there is a... So if people are interested, you can actually go to the website to get the information. It'll be at the Kennedy Center. The guest call-in number for tonight's show is 646-716-9827. Again, that number is 646-716-9827. And we are on location here for the inauguration of the President of the United States, Mr. Barack Obama. I'd also like to do a few announcements of upcoming events. We, the International Black Summit, are having our 2009 annual event, and I'd like for you to consider this your personal invitation to attend the event. This year it will be held in London, England. It occurs the first weekend of August, July 30th through August the 2nd. And in 2010, the summit will be in Baltimore, Maryland, August 5th through the 8th, in the year 2010.
Also, if you'd like more information about the International Black Summit, or if you'd like to register for the annual event or any of our activities, you can log on to the International Black Summit website at www.blacksummit.org. Our next talk show is going to be Man of the Month, and Glenn Greenwich will be hosting that show. He'll be interviewing J.K. Young, who is a phenomenal man in the community. And if you think you have parts of your life that you feel are derailed or you want to get back on track, you can tune in on First Sunday and get on track with Ms. Sieta Bird.
Yay!
dealing with various aspects of your life and getting you back on track. Or maybe you'd like to give some acknowledgement to our fabulous young people or get some acknowledgement. Then you can tune into our Let's Celebrate show with Shakesha, and that's on the second Sunday of the month. Maybe.
Yay!
Or maybe your finances need a tune-up.
Yay!
Health Club on Tuesday night. And that show is about looking at various investment vehicles to put people back on the right track with their finances. So the International Black Summit Talk Show has expanded. We are have a network of shows, each with a different thing. This show is the Vision Work Show, which is about people realizing their vision in the community and sharing information about what folks are up to in the community and the world, around the world. For more information about any of the International Black Summit events, to become a member of our community, to donate funds, to register, to attend the annual event, you can log on to our website. That's www.blacksummit.org. If you are a past summit participant and you want to share about how the summit has forwarded you living your vision, feel free to send an email to lionsview@aol.com to get on a future show. You can listen to this or previously aired talk show segments 24/7 online at www.blacksummit.org/talkshow. And you're also able to download them to your iPod or your MP3. Listen to them later while you're exercising or doing other things. All of that's available to you. I would really like to thank my roving reporter, Ms. Henrietta Bird.
My pleasure.
I appreciate your contribution. I'd also like to thank those of you who joined in on the conversation. Nafeta from Virginia, Henrietta from Chicago, who's here on location in Washington, D.C., Brenda also from Chicago, Adrian and her team of students from Canada, Jackie O from Ottawa, Canada, and Mr. Mitchell Sharp from New Jersey.
Yeah, baby.
And share comments and everything with us. It has truly been a pleasure. I want to thank the people in the chat room, all of the talk show members, and everyone who listened, chatted, called in to share tonight online. Next show is next week, same date, same time, Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'd like to close this segment of Vision Work by reciting the Declaration of the International Black Summit. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, keep families responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our body, providing human services,
establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. And this was penned in Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991. My name is Claroline Savon, and I invite you to show up powerfully in your life and share the special gift that God gave only to you. See you all in London, and thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for sharing.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Allah.
Allah.
Ha, ha, ha.